Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, Season 6, Episode 87. I'm Dave Bryan from SteelersDepot.com, and as you can tell, I'm doing the intro this week. That means David Todd's not with me, and really, it's kind of good that worked out that way because the 2016 NFL Combine just wrapped up on this Monday afternoon, and it's a perfect time to get Alex Cazora back in here so we can talk about the comings and goings and the things that we observed over the course of the last several days. And for those of you who tuned in Friday expecting a show, I apologize. I actually had to leave the house and go to the doctor. I had a pain in my side. And Alex, I'm not sure if you know what bursitis is, but normally when you hear it, you associate it with old people, but that's exactly what I had. So I'm falling apart, and I haven't even reached 50 years of age yet.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is, but I'm glad it wasn't, I guess, anything super serious. But yeah, we're all playing hurt. I have a little bit of a cold, so we see the most athletic people in the world, and then here's us two just like falling apart, just trying to talk about the most athletic people in the world.
Yeah, but the show must go on. We'll have about an hour episode today. We have a lot to talk about, quite a lot to talk about. What we're going to do with this is we're going to work, go position group by position group, and we'll start with, the most recent and what's, being as how that's freshest on our mind, and work backwards towards the offensive line groups and running back groups and tight ends and all like that. So let's start with the defensive backs. They just wrapped up their workouts. A couple things, a few top cornerbacks, one particularly, McKenzie Alexander out of Clemson. I'm not sure if you got to see his talk with the media, Alex, but quite entertaining for sure. The kid really does not lack confidence whatsoever. Measured in at 5'10 and 3/8, 190 pounds. Because of a hamstring, he did not do anything at the combine except I think he did the bench. He did 11 reps of 225 on the bench, saving everything else for his pro day. I don't know where you want to start here. Of course, you've got a full recap coming later on in the day. But what stood out to you most, either number-wise or on the field, drills, with the defensive backs?
Well, Dave, for me, I think a good place to start is Darian Thompson. And we're still waiting on official times for the second group as of, recording this right now. They're not in yet, although I know NFL Network alluded to them, but I only saw a couple of them posted, the top ones. But we're trying to figure out, Dave, what to do with Darian Thompson's 4.7 40, and it'll probably come in right around there. And obviously, you can't put a crazy amount of stock into just one number, and you always want to test the tape. It's kind of what we talk about, use the combine as a cross-check. But I think another interesting part of the combine is just, how does a player stack up with the historical data? I think there's some fun metrics, and there's some great people out there that do a great job of being able to illustrate that. And from my standpoint, I pulled up all the combine data since 1999. I think the site is NFLCombineResults.com if you want to check it out. And I just was curious in all the safeties that have run 4.7 or worse since 1999 and see how many of those guys were successful. And out of the, 30 guys that I'm looking at, there's only one or two, even decent success stories. Tony Jefferson, Kendrick Lewis, Ahmad Black. Those are kind of the top three guys that I saw. So that's not a good historical precedent for Darian Thompson. Again, you don't want to get caught up in one time too much, and we'll see what the official time is.
And it's 4.69. It just came in.
Okay, so we're right on that cusp of 4.7. So I think the point still kind of stands where you don't have a ton of success stories for guys running in that, basically 4.7 and worse. It's not to say all end all, but that's gonna draw some big question marks from some people.
I watched quite, you know, some film on him. You've obviously watched more than I have on Thompson. Mm-hmm. When you did, and unfortunately, you know, when it comes to defensive backs, super tough to break down, especially on TV tape. It'd be nice if when the day comes that we have the all 22 view. But did you see him mostly play in the box? Did you see him mostly play, you know, a deep safety spot? Was it kind of mixed? And did you see any limitations when he was on the back end where maybe speed might be an issue?
Yeah, it was pretty mixed. I mean, he told me at the Senior Bowl that they were a quarters defense, and there was, I think he implied a good bit of pattern reading kind of involved in that Boise State defense. It was fairly complex. I, like I wrote in the report, I think his best, you know, he's a strong safety. I think he can play center field because I think he has, takes good angles with the football. He's a guy that has 19 interceptions, but I think he's best in that strong safety near the box role, robber coverage where he's reading the routes, reading the quarterback's eyes, and making plays on the ball with, I think, some of the explosion that he has, some of the length that he has, and he's a big hitter. They can separate player from ball. So, you know, in that respect, you know, I'm just mixed on it. I'm kind of almost just ranting right now because I'm trying to figure out how to process that. I'm not asking Thompson to be my main center field, you know, carry the seam all the time kind of guy. So maybe the 4-7 isn't as concerning as if I was pegging him to be that guy. But the precedent is still there. It still worries me. And I put maybe a little bit more stock into these times for some of the safeties because, like you said, it's hard to always get a good, accurate judge of their speaks. We're not seeing them on every single play. We're not seeing them turn and run because they fall out of frame so much. So I put a little bit more stock into the safeties because, you know, in that respect, their speed is a little hard to know when you're watching just TV tape and not having the benefit of all 22. So, I mean, I still like Thompson a lot. I was very glowing of him. You know, I had him to the Steelers at 25 in my first mock. I'm going to sit back and rethink things, and we'll see where we go from there.
Talking about a few, unfortunately, we didn't get to see Von Bell do anything other than bitch. You know, Jeremy Cash, the same with him. I don't think he even bitched, if memory serves me. You know, top of the class, Vernon Hargraves. Does the fact that guys like Hargraves and Alexander, you know, measuring in under 5'11", even, you know, not even true. Now, we knew that was going to be the case really with both those guys. But, I mean, is there anything to be concerned about there? You know, we don't have a time, of course, on Alexander yet, and Hargraves did run officially a 4.5. You'd like to see that a little bit lower, but he had a great vertical. He had a great broad jump, I think 10 in the broad jump, 39 in the vertical, talking about Vernon Hargraves. Are both those guys still first-round guys?
I don't think they – well, I mean, Alexander, you didn't get a read on, but for Hargraves, I don't think he did anything that would ever dissuade you, you know, from that. I think he tested fine. I mean, if you were asking about the size, I mean, you know kind of where I stand on that. I don't care about it that much. I think the idea of a big six-foot corner is nice, but they're a lot more rare than people think, and you can't just go pluck one off the street just because the guy is tall and long. But no, I think Hargraves will do fine. I thought he looked good today in his transition. He caught the ball natural. I mean, the guys, I think they said on NFL Network, I mean, he's like a receiver out there. So there's no concern there. And if you're a Steelers fan, you know, they don't mind small corners. Antoine Blake, Senquez Golson, Brandon Boykin, all sub 5'10 guys. So, I mean, the size is not an issue for me or for Pittsburgh.
Just historically, when you look at guys that go into top 20 though, right?
Yeah,
normally,
I mean,
normally six or taller, right?
Well, I mean, I have to think about it. I mean, if you're a 6 foot guy that can run a 4.4, I mean, of course, those guys are naturally going to gravitate towards the top because there's so few of those guys out there. But I'm sure if you really comb through it, and I can't even think of much off the top of my head. I'm sure if you comb through it though, you would find, you know, 5'10" guys that were going pretty high.
Yeah, I hate to use the term "help your," you know, players helping themselves at the combine, but you know, I suppose it does happen. William Jackson is a guy that's really caught a lot of people's attention over the course of the last month or so out of Houston. 6 foot 3'8", 189, 4.37, 40, nice 10-yard split. The one that we have, I think, of 1.52. You know, other than only doing 10 reps on the bench, which, you know, it's hard to read into that depending on arm length. And of course with DBs, I mean, these guys aren't known to be bench warriors. I mean, he didn't hurt himself this week, right?
No, I was actually really impressed, and there's a lot of buzz about him. Some people even have him as their top corner. I thought he was a little stiff, but I gotta admit, I mean, he looked really fluid today. And of course, and he, again, when you have a guy that size, it's running sub 4.4. They naturally start to gravitate because it's so hard to find those guys. I mean, you're getting two or three max out of basically every single, you know, draft class. So when those guys do pop up, they do tend to go higher. I mean, I do like Jackson, but I was worried about, you know, some of his stiffness. I was kind of thinking a cover three system where he wouldn't have to play as much man coverage. But I thought he looked great today in drills. The drills was the biggest thing for me, and I thought he looked really good. So that's a guy that's going to get a lot more buzz, and you're going to see him in the first round in a ton of mocks.
How about a couple of mid-round corners or safeties as far as on the field drills went, you know, flipping those hips and staying in control that caught your eye that you know, fit the Steelers?
Again, if you're looking for a Steelers fit, you know, I talked him up a little bit. Jonathan Jones from Auburn, a smaller guy at 5'9", but again, the Steelers have not been ever fearful of taking those guys. I mean, he turned in the best 40 of the day for the corners. I think, what did he run, a 4.33, I believe? Yeah, that's what I'm looking at, 4.33. But just in drills. Now, he was a little stiff flipping and you know, turning and running in those kind of man coverage simulations, but I thought whenever he had to transition and get downhill, especially in that W drill or that weave drill that I really love, I thought he looked great there. He's got, you know, really nice feet, and he's got a really good close and closes space quickly. So I thought Jonathan Jones looked good. Cyrus Jones as well, though we kind of knew that was Cyrus Jones, so I don't want to, you know, put too much stock into that because, you know, he was a quick guy that was technically sound, you know, and good in his pedal. He's a very compact guy. Tavon Young kind of cut from a similar cloth. So I thought Tavon Young from Temple, who some people kind of liked. Senior Bowl, he was just okay, kind of quieted some people. And then I thought, you know, James Bradbury from Samford, who I thought was a little tall, a little stiff at the Senior Bowl. He ran well. He ran a 4.5 flat for a guy that's, again, above 6 feet, that jumped well, I think, in the vertical. I think he had a 36 or 37-inch vertical. So I thought, you know, smaller school guys, Eagles kind of tend to stay away from those guys. But I thought, you know, James Bradbury helped himself today.
Artie Burns didn't do too bad in obviously the 44.46, I think, was his official times, but a little stiff, wasn't he, in my opinion?
Yeah, and seeing some people that have watched him more, they said his change of direction skills were kind of the big bugaboo with Artie Burns, and I thought he did look a little stiff. And honestly, I thought he would run a little bit faster. There were rumors he could be the fastest guy here, so of course his time was respectable, but I thought he would run maybe in the 4.3s, and I think he turned out an official 4.46.
So of guys that you haven't watched yet that caught your eye now during the combine that you're excited to go watch tape on, a couple of them.
Oh, man. I'm looking at one. I'm just kind of perusing the list right now. But TJ Green from Clemson. I mean, if you're 6'2 and a half, 209 pounds, and you run a 4.34, you jump 35 and a half inch in the vert, 10.9 in the broad. I mean, he did look a little stiff in drills, but he's a big safety. Those guys aren't going to typically do well. I think that's really attractive to me. You know, this Killebrew kid, some Southern Utah, I think officially someone said 4.51. You know, his unofficials were high in the high 4.6s, low 4.7s. I don't know if you have an official time on that, Dave, if you have the numbers, but he just...
Yeah, Killebrew, 4.65, 40.
Okay, is that the official?
Yeah.
Okay, because it was weird today with the clock, because they were giving different times that first group of DBs. It was a little chaotic for a little while there, but he jumped 38 inches, 10.7 in the broad. They played the highlights, the cut-up of him just destroying people a couple times. Mayock was loving it. So I'm getting a lot of questions about Miles Killebrew. You know, he dropped weight. I think he wants to be a safety because some people thought he might end up being like the Cravens and kind of playing the Will linebacker. But Killebrew is a guy that I need to try to find some good tape on.
Let's switch over to the linebackers who along with the defensive linemen, you know, had their session on, my days are screwed up, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what stuck out the most to you in that group? And let's be clear here that some of the guys listed as, you know, that worked out as defensive lineman, obviously will project as 3-4 outside linebacker. So we'll get to that in a minute. But as far as the true the players that worked out with the linebackers group.
Yeah, the big guy, and you know, of course, a lot of these guys aren't going to fit the Steelers, some of these off-ball guys, because a lot of them are going to be 4-3 outside linebackers. But the one that I think could still be in play for the Steelers at 25 is Reggie Ragland, and I thought he had himself a solid day. Of course, his times aren't going to blow anybody away, but he came in lighter. He wanted to be around 250. He came in at 247, and he ran a 4.72 with a 1.66 split. And, you know, that weight, that's spectacular. And I tweeted it out. I wrote it in the article yesterday. Lawrence Timmons at the combine ran a 4.7 flat with a 1.66 split. So it's almost identical to Ragland. And Ragland is 247. Timmons did the combine at 234. So, I mean, that, you know, Ragland was heavier and ran just as well as Timmons. So I know if you're worried about Ragland playing in space, he's not going to be optimal at it, but he's going to be a three-down guy. And if you just look at the numbers, compare that to Timmons, and you'll see that.
Josh Perry, decent combine, right?
Yeah. Again, that's a kid I don't know a ton about. I don't know if he's going to project as a 4-3 outside linebacker or not. Let me pull up some of his numbers here.
254, 6'3 and 3 quarters, 254 pounds, I think 4.68 official 40 time. Not a bad vertical, 33.5, and really killed it on the broad jump, I thought. 10 foot, 4 inches there.
Yeah, and those at 10'4", that measures, you know, explosion, that lower body power. And if you're that big guy, 254 with that kind of explosion, that's attractive. So, you know, maybe one guy to put on my notes of someone that I want to get into a little bit more. Devondre Campbell from Minnesota, the same, 258. Steven Weatherly from Vanderbilt, thought I had a great time. He came in at 267 pounds. He ran, I think, a 4.67 or somewhere right around there. And for that weight, was absolutely fantastic. You know, some other guys, I thought Joe Schobert was solid in drills. I thought he was efficient. I think he moves really, really well. And then the one guy, you know, we've talked about him before. I want to get your take on him, Dave. But Jordan Jenkins from Georgia didn't time well. Ran in the high 4.8s. I saw him screw things up in drills. I'm sure he was kind of nervous and tense, but he had to be coached up a couple times. So I thought Jordan Jenkins did not have a good day.
Yeah, and the thing I really was wanting to kind of see with him more than anything else was kind of a short shuttle and a three cone, and he didn't do either of those two things. I never visioned him as a first or second round guy. Right. I think I even had him in my mock at third round there. I think that's where he belongs. I think that's who he is. I think he's going to need some development, obviously, at the NFL level, but there's no doubt that he jumps out on tape, in the run, and although he didn't tackle, I mean, he didn't have a huge amount, you know, never was a double digit sack guy. He was a pressure guy,
right.
And you know, sometimes you have to equate, you know, why weren't those sack numbers there, but the pressure numbers there, you know, there instead? Scheme, was it, you know, how teams were trying to account for him, opponents trying to account for him. I think he is what he is. I think he's a third-round guy, and I don't think anything has changed that. I would like to go back and kind of watch. I think I missed him during the drills portion. Mm-hmm. Did you catch him any during the drills with Jenkins?
Yeah, like I said, I think he just – I'm sure he was nervous, but he just screwed up drills where he was having the coaches were pulling him back because he turned the wrong way or he guessed wrong or, you know, he did something that made him repeat drills a couple times. So, you know, that was kind of the big takeaway there. And to be fair, he's a big guy. I mean, he's 259. He's one of the heavier linebackers. He's got great length, 34.25. He did show explosion, 36.5-inch vert. When you get 259 up that high, you know, that opens some eyes. But you would love to see those shuttle drills because those are huge for any guys, linebackers, trying to see how well they change direction. I mean, you look at Jarvis Jones, you know, going back to him, you know, his 40 time was bad, but it was his shuttle times. It was his short shuttle. It was his three cone. They were abysmal. And that's what really kind of you start seeing how well a guy changes directions and how much flexibility and ankle flexion that he has. You know, that's what you would like to see from a guy like Jordan Jenkins. So we'll have to pay attention to his pro day.
I love it. I posted a video of this on Steelers Depot, you know, how Pat Kerwin likes to use some of the combine numbers. And I've written extensively about explosion numbers over the course of the years of how you take the broad jump and the vertical jump and the bench press and you add those together. If you get a player with 70, score of 70 or higher, you know, they're considered an explosive player. If you look at Jordan Jenkins, You know, if that bench would have been there for him, he probably would have been right there, because 36 and a half vertical, 10-foot, 1-inch broad jump, that puts him at, what, 46.6, and add the 16 onto that, that puts him at, what, 62-something, 63 right around in there. So just short of being what, you know, I don't think he's going to get the kind of the force-type rating. You know, the buzzword last couple of years has been a force-type player. He's obviously not that, but I think a third-rounder for sure. And the other interesting thing that is too bad we don't have his short shuttle time, because I like the way Kerwin says you subtract 0.5 from the official 40 time, and then that's, you know, that's the time or better that they should run the shuttle, I mean the short shuttle in, because it shows quickness as opposed to speed. I mean, obviously 4.8 is not blistering it, but how many times are you going to have an outside linebacker running 40 yards? I mean, is his 10-yard split wasn't bad, right? We have two of them, 1.66 and 1.64. So those aren't bad. I think the big news, especially at the linebacker position coming out this weekend, and boy, it sure is unfortunate, Jalen Smith out of Notre Dame, nerve damage, it seems to be the scare with him after he really tore up his knee in the bowl game. You know, you can't help but think about the perennial nerve, and that's exactly what they're kind of alluding to, I think. And everybody knows that Sean Spence went through that. You know, at what point does he become draftable? And, you know, you'd have to think the Steelers are just going to shy away from that.
Right. Again, you know, the combine recheck is going to be huge for him. That's going to happen on April 1st, where he and anybody else that wants to get looked at again by teams will come back to Indianapolis. And so that's going to be critical. But, yeah, it's just a really tough projection. And if you have concerns that this guy's ever going to play again, it's hard to justify your first round. It's hard to put a guy on the podium as if you're a first-round pick, and then the first question is, are you ever going to play again? That's a difficult situation for a player and team to deal with. And for a team like the Steelers, where you want to win now and you want guys that can contribute right away and not have to take a year off to get healthy, then take a year or two to understand, you know, the NFL and how to play and make your mistakes, it's awfully tough. When I think about Marcus Lattimore, I think about Leonard Weaver. Weaver blew out his knee and had nerve damage and never played it down again. You know, the 49ers took a flyer on Lattimore in the fourth round, and that didn't work out. It's hard to see this Smith kid going, you know, in the top two rounds, and from there, you know, who knows. But it's just really hard to justify it right now for teams that are in a position to win, like the Steelers.
And assuming the Steelers don't take Raglan in the first, which I would be surprised if that happened.
You would? You would?
Yeah, I think I would. Okay. I just can't see him going there, to be quite honest with you. I mean, not saying it won't. Right. It's just, you know, kind of looking into my crystal ball. But if they don't, you know, if they don't, you could see him taking an inside linebacker, but just not in the first four rounds at that point, right?
Right. Again, I like Raglan just because I think teams are going to love him, because I think he's a good athlete. I think, you know, he's a guy that is super physical and plays to run. His run fits are fantastic. I think he's a guy that has some pass rush value that you can play a little bit outside. He played with his hand down in some sub-package football for Alabama. So that's why I like Raglan. You know, any other inside linebacker I'm not crazy about. And even if we assume that Sean Spence goes, are they going to, you know, take somebody else? I think they'll take an inside linebacker late. I had him mocked. I think you had him mocked to a seventh-round inside linebacker. But if it isn't a, you know, super talented guy that jumps off at you, then probably not inside linebacker. There's other places on defense that this team's got to address, including edge linebacker.
You know where Raglan's going to end up, don't you?
What, Baltimore next to Mosley? Yeah. Yeah. He said at the Senior Bowl that C.J. Mosley was the smartest player he's ever been around, and he went to Mosley with all the questions he had when he wouldn't talk to the coaching staff. So, I mean, it would be a match.
I'll ask this once again, as I did with the defensive back group. Anybody that you haven't seen on tape yet that after the combine – you want to go watch?
Man, there's a couple of these edge guys, you know. I know we've kind of dogged his edge class a little bit, but Correa from Boise State could be a second-round pick. He ran well, looked natural and fluid in the outside linebacker, you know, drills where he's dropping and turning. Calhoun from Michigan State, you know, his 40 time was not good, a 4.82, but look at his shuttles. I mean, his shuttle, a 4.25 in the short shuttle, a 6.97 in the three code. Again, you know, people might say, oh, he's Jarvis Jones because he ran slow, but just real quick, here's Calhoun's short shuttle, 4.25. Jones' short shuttle was a 4.71. Calhoun's three-cone was a 6.97. Jones' three-cone was a 7.46. So big difference between those two guys. I thought he looked natural and fluid, one of the most natural guys that dropped out of that group. So I like him. That Ogba kid from Oklahoma State, I didn't know anything about him, but people thought he ran a lot better. He ran, I think, a 4.63 official. He ran a lot better than people thought. That kid out of Maryland, whose name I have trouble pronouncing, and I'm not going to try to do that with a cold right now, but his split was good. You know, a 9.10 in the broad, a 34.5-inch vert. That's not terrible numbers. So a lot of edge guys I really got to get my teeth into here.
Yeah, and being as how those guys worked out in defensive linemen, we'll go ahead and transfer, shift focus over to that group. I've watched Calhoun already. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that I started watching prior to the combine, but got sidetracked. I'll have a report on him after, probably this week sometime, obviously. The thing with Calhoun, the production was there, and the get-off was there too. I mean, I think he lived up to – the get off the one, what do you have, a short shuttle of a 10-yard split of 1.69. The get off is there. The thing my concerns is how he can play the run as a 3-4 outside linebacker. To me, he comes off as more of a 4-3 base end, okay, to be quite honest with you. And at 251, at the NFL level, you might want him, if you're going to use him as a 4-3 base end, might want him to add a few pounds. I just didn't get the overall feeling after watching three games of his that he's what the Steelers look for in an outside linebacker. To me, he looks more like a pass rushing specialist, and I'll have more on him in the coming week. And one of us, I'm sure, will get to Correa, a guy that the only really stuff that I had seen on him was just, while viewing the Thompson tape at Boise State. And I wasn't focused in on it, but I kind of, okay, that's maybe a day three type guy. But he's a guy that I really look forward to going and studying. I'm sure you do as well. How much have you studied of him yet? 6'2", 5'8", 243 pounds, obviously an outside linebacker candidate. Not going to be – I'm sure some teams will look at him as a defensive end, but they're probably not going to last long because he moves so good out in space. I think a 4.69 40 time, 21 on the bench, a 33 vertical, and a 9-foot broad jump. So what do you know about him so far?
Not really much, and that's why, whenever you ask about guys I want to go back and see, I think he was one of the first names that came to mind. The explosion numbers aren't fantastic for that size, 243, and that's why I think Calhoun's more attractive, because he's got the length and he had better explosion numbers, even though he's a bigger, more built guy than Correa. But I think Correa's getting some buzz, and in this kind of down edge class, that's a guy, he could be sitting there with a Steelers second-round pick, and that's a guy I want to look at. But no, I really don't know much about his game outside of what I saw yesterday.
Lawson showed up at 269. That's down a little bit, right? What was he listed at?
I'm not sure if the
I thought it was 270-something during the season, 273. 6'2", 5'8", 269 at the combine, 32 3/4 length arms, 10-inch hands. Mm-hmm. Those are some – you can eat some corn on the cob with those. Not a bad 40, 4.7. 33-inch vertical and a 10-inch broad for a guy that size. You saw my break guy. I loved him, and because of that, I think he's kind of one of those Swiss Army. He's the ultimate. What did I say today? The kind of like the ultimate kind of tweener type player. Probably so much you can do with him.
Yeah, and I'm looking at 4.21 short shuttle, which I think was near the. Let me categorize this and see where that stacks up with everybody. But I think that was the tied for the second best one there. So when you're 269 pounds. That's awfully impressive. So what do you think projection for – or you think 25? Is that – am I on the mark with that? Or
Top 25 guys?
Yeah, Lawson.
Yeah, I would think so. Jeez.
So he's there at 25 for the Steelers? Is that your guy? I know so it's hard to put a guy, but is he in the – I mean, he's got to be in the conversation, right?
Boy, yeah, he is. I mean, if he's there, if he falls that far, I would run the card up there.
Mm, okay.
Based on everything that I've seen, I did the breakdown on him. He loves that inside move. Mm-hmm. They didn't drop him a lot at Clemson, but they did drop him. Mm-hmm. They did stand him up at times. Mostly, as if I recall, played over the tackle and mostly on the right side. Great character kid from the interviews that I've seen. Obviously, I don't know him, but I don't think there's any red flags attached to him as far as that goes. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I really was impressed with his tape. Continue on with some true defensive ends here. You were kind of disappointed in Jahad Ward showing, right?
Yeah, I just thought he wasn't going to be a guy that was going to post up some really good, you know, numbers. And I know his short shuttle was good, and that's impressive for a guy of that size. But, you know, 25-inch vert, 9'3 in the broad, a 5'11 40. This probably wasn't what he was hoping for, what I was hoping for. I thought he would post up some numbers that could get him into the second-round conversation. I still think he's going to go higher than I think what you have him pegged for, because I think he's still a really good athlete, and he's a raw guy that just has that kind of size. But another guy, and I got to watch him some more. I mean, you asked me to watch one game of him, and there's mixed opinions, and there's not a lot of tape out there of it. But, man, Dave, I think Chris Jones could be the steal of second-round draft pick out of Mississippi State. I mean, 6'6", 310, 34.5-inch arms. You know the Steelers covet length. When you think of a Steelers defensive lineman, you think length. He has it. He ran a 5.03 40, a 1.7 split to that, a 4.62. I think in one of the shuttles, one of his agility drills. That's all highly impressive numbers. I mean, he's a one-year starter, but that's a guy that just really jumped out at me.
Yeah, and you know, maybe it was a selection of games that I chose of his.
But you chose some good games. I mean, you didn't. You took the hardest games, I think, right?
I took what, Alabama, LSU. Yeah. And I'm drawing a blank of who the last one was. I can't remember.
I don't know.
I can't remember who the last
those
game
are good
was.
Games. Those are the games you want to see. I mean, you put on tape at SEC competition. You don't want to see Vanderbilt, you know. So
I think the thing that bothered me the most was his motor more than anything else.
But would that be conditioning, maybe? I mean, he's a big guy that hasn't started a lot. I mean, it's hard to differentiate the two sometimes.
And he didn't play, you know, he wasn't an every down player either. Yeah. So maybe, you know, maybe that has something to do with it. I forget the percentage of snaps that he played last season. I was just expecting a little.
Yeah.
Maybe it was my fault for kind of reading a little bit in depth about him before,
mm-hmm.
you know, before turning on tape, because I just found myself kind of him not living up to kind of the first, second round grade. But I mean, even so, I think I gave him, what, a third round grade?
Something like that, yeah. I think you, because you started with like a fourth round, and I think you bumped him up a little bit the more you watched, and I think the combine's going to help him a little bit more.
Right, and I mean, could he go? He's not a first round guy, though, right?
I think some people have kind of whispered that, but I mean, I got to watch him more. I mean, I can't give you a great round, but that would be pushing it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Let me talk to another guy real quick here. If he falls, because he's projected higher than this, but if he falls, Andrew Billings, the nose tackle from Baylor, who put up some great numbers, he looked fantastic in drills, just the way he moves with that frame. Do you take him at 25?
No.
No, why is that?
A, because of the usage of the nose tackle in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not going to get the snaps. I mean, he is a defensive tackle / nose tackle.
Right.
I mean, they're going to be 4-3 and 3-4 teams both looking him, but I mean, for a guy, I to me, you just can't justify, if you're considering a true nose tackle, which I mean, you almost have to at 6 and even almost an even 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how you justify it in a first round pick for a guy that's just going to see the field 25% of the time.
Here's why I think that he could be in the conversation, and I agree. If you're looking at just a run stuffing kind of plugger, that's not the guy that you want. But I think he can get after the quarterback. And anytime you talk about defensive linemen, you have to be able to check yes to the question of can they get after the quarterback. And I think he can. And as much as we talk about, you know, the lack of base defense, and you're right on the money with that. I preach that all the time. Steelers are in sub-package 75% of the time, Dave. You know, you still want guys that can kind of hold up against the run in sub-package football, because you're playing the one and the three. There's no five techs anymore. You're playing one tech, you're playing three tech. And that kind of big body that can hold up against the run and maybe help. You know, we have some of the issues. Why did the Steelers struggle so much, you know, stopping the run out of nickel? He could help that. And I think he's a guy that can stay out there on third down. So usually I would answer no to that question, but I think if Billings falls, he's a guy I got to watch, but I think it's a guy that's going to be in the conversation.
another big guy, Vernon Butler, who the Steelers reportedly showed some interest in at the combine, 6'3", 5'8". You know, can play the nose, but can he play? Can he play? You know, a 5 and a 4 tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I this is a guy that didn't time well. He ran a 5.33. His vertical, his broad weren't great. I mean, he's a big guy, 3.23. But that's another guy like Billings. And this guy, Butler, has the length, and he's a little bit taller. He's a little over 6'3.5 with 35-inch arms. I mean, this guy didn't move great at the combine and in the test, but you just watch him on tape. You watch him at the Senior Bowl. This guy just moves ways that the 323-pound guy shouldn't move. But I think he's a good pass rusher that's got quick hands and a really good first step for that size. So if you're asking about nose tackles, usually the answer is no if they're just a run stuffer, but guys can get after the quarterback, they got value, and those are two guys that I'm interested in.
One guy that kind of stuck out to me that he's not going to go high at all, he might not even get drafted, but a guy the Steelers could look at maybe in the seventh round or as an undrafted free agent. I watched a real quick sample of film on him and read some background on him. Joel Heath out of Michigan State, 6'5.25, 293 pounds, nice long arms, 34.5-inch arms, big hands, had put up some decent times for a guy his size. And when you go back and you kind of read his history, he was a lighter defensive end, I believe, in 2014. They asked him to gain some weight and kick inside, and he did just that. Super character on this guy, and the tape's not awful. And I think because of his lack of experience, you know, being shifted around the last couple of years is going to end up hurting him in the long run. But that's a guy that I look forward to somewhere during this process of going watching a larger sample of film on. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, look, I mean, let's face it. What are the measurables the Steelers like their defensive ends to be? You know, 6'5" or bigger, right? 6'4.5" or bigger, almost, you know, right around the 300-pound mark, longer arms if possible, and guys that can move. And Joel Heath can move. He checks all of those boxes. He just doesn't have the experience or the tape to back it up.
That's a great call, Dave, honestly. And that could be your Blanche Flower. Remember, you're the first guy talking about Blanche Flower? And hopefully he has a better career than Blanche Flower, but this could be your Rob Blanche Flower.
Yeah, and a guy – well, look how that Blanche Flower turned out, right?
I said hopefully he has a better career, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you got to admit, though, Blanche Flower, when he did play at UMass, I mean, he had the tape. He just couldn't stay healthy.
That was just the issue, yeah. And if Heath doesn't have an injury history, yeah, you're right, though. I mean, the Steelers want length. You think of Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Nick Williams, LT Walton, all 34-plus inch arms.
One other guy that I know nothing about, Kamalu out of Miami, 6'5" and 1/8, 295 pounds. Have you seen or watched anything on him?
No, I have. I need to attack this front seven a little bit harder. I've been focusing so much on some of the secondary guys, so I don't know really anything about him.
Noah Spence, a first-round guy still?
I've been lower on him, and I wrote the report when people were putting him top 10, top 15. I have him as a mid to late first. You know, he didn't time great, a 4.8 flat, 35-inch vert, I think a 10, what was it, 10.1 or something in the broad. Not terrible numbers, but not necessarily top 10, top 15. Still concerns about his interviews, did he interview good or not, are they smoke screens or not. I just don't know if he can play the run, and I don't see him as a top 10, top 15 guy before the combine, and certainly after it, my opinion has not changed. I think he'll be there at 25 for the Steelers. Will they take him? It's a different story, but I don't see him as this top 10 guy that everyone else does.
Okay, Spence and Shaq Lawson are on the board. What card are you running up if you choose either of the two?
The interview is going to be so huge for Spence. I mean, when you're he's taken drug tests and he's passed them all. He said basically the last 2 years. But you know, anytime you have a guy with a checkered drug history and he gets money and fame now, I mean, you never know. I have to watch Lawson more. But I would love to be in that war room, Dave, when that conversation ended up taking place.
Anybody that we haven't mentioned of this defensive lineman slash outside linebacker group that you want to watch tape on?
Let me just give you three real quick names. I'll make it 30 seconds on this one. Javon Hargrave, South Carolina State. I mean, he's just killed everywhere he's gone. The Shrine Game, the Senior Bowl, the Combine, he ran a 4.93 at 311 pounds. I mean, just for a small school kid to get that exposure is critical. I think he's going to go in the third round. Daddy Nichols from Virginia Tech, I think he's Howard Jones. I think he's a 4.3 guy that's a sub-package situational pass rusher. They're great athletes, but they need a lot of coaching. And then Bronson Kufasi from BYU. I mean, he's a big guy, 285. He ran a 4.87. You know, shuttle times were fantastic for how big and how long he is. You know, that would be an interesting guy that I need to look at a little bit closer.
After watching a combine, Carl Nassib, the Steelers evidently showed some interest in him this week as well. Do you see him more as a 4.3 base end, or, you know, they put him through. Didn't they put him through the linebacker drills?
They did.
Little clunky, wasn't he?
A little bit. I mean, he's a real long leg. I mean, he's what, 6'5", bordering on 6'6". I think conventionally most people are going to say he's going to be a 4.3 end. But again, when you're talking about, I'm looking at roles now in the NFL. You know, the lines and positions in 3-4 versus 4-3, it's become so blurred. I think Nassib could do a lot with his hand now, and is that sub package kind of, you know, pass rusher. So Nassib's a guy that I like. I want to do the report on. He didn't test well. I get that, but I think he plays better than he tested.
Do we miss anybody that we need to cover there?
Oh, man, we covered a lot of guys. But we just did that because, I mean, this is your front seven, your secondary. You know, we're spending the time on defense because that's going to be the focus. So we wanted to really go through that really, really thoroughly.
It's not a great year it's a good year for the Steelers not to need a wide receiver, right?
Yeah, these guys were slow. Oh, my goodness, they ran poor.
The thing, you know, it's really a top-heavy class, right?
Yeah, I mean,
extremely top-heavy.
But there's not that unified number one, you know, receiver that everybody has. I mean, most people it's Treadwell, but there's some people that aren't as big on Treadwell. I mean, they like Josh Doctson, or some people like Michael Thomas from Ohio State. You know, there's not a consensus guy, you know, and a top 10 guy that there kind of usually is every year.
And the Steelers have I forget what the number is. I wrote about this, I should know it. How many of the last, you know, seven drafts, wide receivers in, like, what, all but one?
Two, all but two. We talked about that the one day. All but two drafts.
Right.
I think of Tomlin era if they've taken a receiver.
We will be surprised if one's drafted this time around. If he doesn't have – the only way I think I could see it is if he has return skills,
mm-hmm.
you know. A lot of talk about the Ohio State kid, Miller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, didn't run as fast as what many people hoped. But, I mean, I don't think the story's changed. I think he's still like a third-round guy, right?
Yeah, I don't think he did, you know, a whole lot positive or negative. I think he's a guy that's going to come off really well in interviews, that carries himself really well, but, you know, isn't a super tense guy who cracks some jokes. He's an easy guy to talk to. You know, listening to him down at the Senior Bowl, I think, you know, he'll endear people that way. I think he's still got a lot of things to work on, of course, but I think he's really refined for a guy that's 1 year to the position, and to step in and change positions in the Big Ten like that is not easy to do, and I think he's excelled at it, taken it all in stride. I think he's probably going to go late second, early third, if maybe, you know, ask right now, and I'm with you. I think the Steelers could take one, but we're talking seventh round pick here. I mean, that's all. We're not taking one in the second round.
Because I don't think we should spend too much time on that.
Let me just give you one name as a seventh-round guy with return value that I don't know much about, but he did a heck of a job at the Combine. Trevor Davis from Cal, 6'1", 188, ran a 4.42 for these slow guys. That was one of the fastest times. Jumped 38.5 inches, a 10.4 in the broad. He was a starting kick returner last year. In 2014, he only had 13 kick returns, but he had two touchdowns on him. I think he averaged pretty well this year. I don't think he had a touchdown this year, but he averaged a healthy number. So if you're looking seventh-round guys, Trevor Davis from Cal is someone I want to keep my name on.
Good call, good call. Maybe at some point late mm-hmm. in the process here, we'll one of us will get, or you will break down some film on him. What'd you say he did? What did he do as a return guy?
In 2014, so 2 years ago, he had 13 kick returns. He housed two of those, and I don't think he had one this past year, but I think he had a healthy return average.
Boy, you're gonna have to really be special on special, mm-hmm. you know, to make this roster.
Yep.
Yeah, as a wide receiver, that's for sure. Let's see here. Tight ends, not a not a banner combine for the tight end groups, for sure. Hunter Henry, unfortunately, all he did was lift and kind of was, you know, expecting to put up close to maybe 20 reps. But he didn't. He only put up 13, and that's all he did. So we'll have to wait and see a little bit more out of him at his pro day. Let's see. Nick Vinette really is in what he did do. He didn't run, but I think he did the on the field drill type stuff. He is kind of who we thought he was. The thing about Nick Vinette that's excuse me hurting him is he just wasn't used in that offense as a receiver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me just ask you this: are you okay? Two questions. Similar topic. Are you upset that Henry and Vinette were healthy and didn't run? And why do you think that is? Because I just want to see these guys compete, and they don't do it, and it bothers me.
It bothers me too. I mean, if you have a little bit of an injury, or even if you don't throw it out like you do,
yeah, you know. I heard real quick story, if you don't mind for 2 seconds. There's a great podcast with Jeff Schwartz who just got released. He's actually a free agent right now, and he said he was not injured, but he knew he would do bad in his bench press, so he just made up an injury at the combine. This is years ago, but he made up an injury. He said he had a shoulder strain just so he wouldn't have to bench because he knew his number wouldn't be that great.
As far as the other guys, unfortunately, Higbee didn't do anything either. Out of Western Kentucky, 6'5" 3/4, 249. Interesting to see what he shows up weighing. He's more to me. He's more of a kind of a flex guy that can give you some blocking, right?
I think that's generally kind of the idea on him, but I think he's a guy that could become, you know, a better blocker. And if I don't know if you listen, I'm sure you listen to Greg Olson. He killed it during his his analyst segment on NFL Network, and he said just going to be effort. And I think you could make Higbee a decent blocker. The thing with him, there's just limited tape on this guy. A one-year starter, played 9 games this year. I just don't know if there's enough information there.
I like Vinette. I just, I think he is what he is, a third-round guy. I just wish we had more tape of him. Mm-hmm. He's running vertically and splitting that seam. I mean, he's obviously smart enough. I think he's a good enough blocker, even as he is right now. And I think Henry, that's why I think Henry is the top tight end, because we've seen Henry do all of it.
Right.
We've already talked to Henry death already during these off-season podcasts, so no reason to go further with him. One guy that the Steelers didn't meet with, Austin Hooper out of Stanford, and this is another guy, I think, who broke him down, Josh?
Yeah, Josh just went up today, the report on Hooper.
Yeah, and obviously the good thing about when most of you, our guys do these things is I'm the one who has to cut up the tape on them, so it forces me to watch tape on them. And I like what I saw out of him as both a blocker and as a receiver. You'd probably like him to be a little bit quicker, but not a bad shuttle time at 4.32. Three cone, not awful either, and turned in, 4.72 40 time. 10-yard split wasn't bad. 1.64, I think, was the lowest unofficial time as far as that goes. But more of probably a second, third-round guy, because let's face it, this tight end class just isn't great.
Yeah, it's a weak class. Hooper's interesting. There was one, I forget who did the report. I don't know if it was Dale Lally or somebody else, but he said that Hooper knew that Keith Miller had retired, I knew the team released Rob Blanchflower, which is something that only, I think, Steelers fans would know. So he's a guy that seems pretty heady. So interesting on Hooper. And I'll give you one name at tight end who I've been kind of beating that drum for a while. Now, David Morgan from UTSA, he ran a 5.02. I'm sure the Steelers are happier when tight ends run slow, because that means they're good blockers. And I think that's what gets them happy. But I thought he looked good in drills, showed soft hands. You know, in those blocking drills where you hit that bag and you drive like a base block, you could just hear that pop when he hit the bag. So I like David Morgan in the 7th round.
For the sake of time, we're going to skip. You want to talk about a few quarterbacks and the few that the Steelers, they had one visitor, one guy that they met with. But overall, let's not spend any time on the running backs, but talk briefly about the kid the Steelers visited with at quarterback.
Yeah, today was – the other day was Vernon Adams out of Oregon. And, I mean, he's undersized. I'm sure people will just do Russell Wilson comparisons because he's 5'10.5". But he's got a big arm. I mean, he can throw from basically any base. He can throw on the move. He's not a super athlete. He ran a 4.86. But he did well at the Shrine Game. He threw 3 touchdown passes. One was a 93-yarder, which was a Shrine Game record. Another was a skinny post that he threw right on the money. The Steelers seem like they want to bring in a quarterback this year, and I'm personally against that. But they talked to Cody Kessler at the Senior Bowl. They're talking to Vernon Adams. My guess is they could take one in the seventh round, and that would bother me. But that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's my view as well too. If you're dead set on drafting a quarterback, go get one in round four, something like that. But even then, we know so many needs this team has in those first four rounds, that it really would be a waste for a kid that's, hopefully Ben Roethlisberger plays out his entire contract, and this kid, these backups never see the field. So as far as it comes with seventh-round guys, I want guys that give you a legitimate shot at making the 53.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And that's why I was so upset about the Holloman selection last year is – We knew before the draft that Gerard Holloman was not Steeler material, and we knew almost the moment after he was drafted he wasn't going to make the 53-man roster.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And at that he didn't even make the practice squad.
Not even close. And he spent most of the year as a free agent. He just signed a futures deal with the Bucks.
And just give me a guy that gives you a chance maybe to compete for a 53 spot as a special teamer. Mm-hmm. Or a guy that you think you can develop at the practice squad. You know, that's about all you can ask. I mean, because not all your seventh round picks are going to be Kelvin Beachum. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. Thoughts on Wentz and Goff?
Well, I was going to pose the question to you. I thought they both had nice days. I like Wentz. I thought at the combine in the vacuum, because I have not watched Goff yet. But I thought Wentz did a better job than Goff. A lot of people thought Goff was better. Who did you think did a better job, Wentz or?
I'm in Team Wentz, okay. And have been for a while.
Okay.
I think Goff has more instant capability, but I think Wentz's ceiling is far superior.
Okay. Yeah.
I personally do. And hopefully the Steelers will stay away from these quarterbacks, because I don't want to watch film on quarterbacks or break them down. The offensive linemen, that's where we're going to end at here. You know how I love power guards, Dave. I mean, I call you Dave, Alex. How I just love guards, mm-hmm. and how I really think that's a position, even early in drafts, that really gets the short end of the stick, if you will. Mm-hmm. There is not a lot to not like about Joshua Garnett.
I mean, you. I think it was you that did that posted the interview of him talking. Did you hear the way he spoke? I mean,
my goodness,
yeah.
What a great. Yeah. I, why even bring? If I'm the Steelers, you don't even have to bring that guy in for one of your 60 meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, during the combine. I mean, because you had to know they knew quite a bit about the kid prior to that. And his tape, you did a breakdown on him, right?
Yeah, I love him.
And I've watched quite a bit too of him. He's infectious. His play, he turned in a nice combine. There's no way this guy doesn't go late in the first round. Right?
A lot of people think he's a second round guy, but I don't know what other guards you're taking in the first round. Then maybe a Cody Whitehair, but yeah, I love this guy. He's just this big lower half, but he can move. I mean, don't call him just a power guy. I know you don't, but a lot of other people do. I mean, this guy can move in space. He told me they ran a lot of inside zone. If they ran everything at Stanford, but they ran inside zone more than anything else. So this guy can move. I mean, you put him a left guard, you get plug and play guy for 10 years, and you get that guy in the first round. I'm a happy Alex.
Whitehair is more of a conversion, though, too, right?
Yeah, he played tackle. Some people think he's a center. He's probably going to kick inside in the NFL.
That's going to – I mean, how much tape have you watched on Whitehair, and how much time did he get inside, if any?
I don't know his whole background. I have not watched actual tape. I watched him at the Senior Bowl. I thought it was just okay, but talking to other people, he's a lot better on tape. He did only 16 reps on the bench, which kind of, rubbed some people the wrong way, but he killed it in his drills. I mean, this guy looks pretty natural, too.
But, I mean, was all of his time spent outside?
I'm not positive. I think the bulk of it, but I don't want to say anything wrong, so I'd have to go look up his bio.
You know, that's the – because, he's not going to play tackle at the NFL level outside of emergency snaps, right?
Probably not.
So you're talking about a guy. It's just so hard to take a projected conversion guy in the first round, if you ask me.
Yeah, I just think it's a little – I think Whitehair can play guard. I'm not trying to dispute that. But I think it's a little lazy to say, okay, just move him inside the guard. Like, you can just wave a magic wand and he becomes a great guard. I mean
– Right, right. I mean, I have nothing against the limited amount of tape I've seen about him. I don't think he's a first-round guy what I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah, I think I would take Garnett over Whitehair just for – if you're looking at just a left guard.
Any other guards –
there's not
first round material.
I like the center class, but the guard class is not. I mean, there's some power guys that you like. Christian Westerman out of Arizona State. This Daryl Green kid from San Diego State that I don't know much about, but he's got a big, wide body, a thick lower half, and he moved well, I thought, in drills. He's got to play a little bit more control. There's some centers I like there that can maybe be guards. A Ryan Kelly from Alabama, a Nick Martin from Notre Dame. I'll give you one more name. I'm not even sure if he was a tackle or a guard at NC State, but this Joe Thuney kid, his web, you know, that web that you talk about on Mock Draftable, it was like one of the best ones there, and he ran a 4.95, so that's a guy I want to try to look at.
How ballistic would Steelers fans be if Garnett was the first round pick?
Well, I assume that means Ramon Foster left, and that means you have no one at left guard. So, I mean, they might go ballistic, but I'll say that's a solid pick.
What if even Foster didn't leave, and you signed him, you didn't lock up a lot of guarantee? Because in my opinion, that's the only way Foster's coming back is if there's not a lot of guaranteed money tied to him. In other words, he can be cut you don't go into re-signing a guy with the intentions of cutting him after 1 year. Let's be up in front with that. Because also, let's remember, free agency takes place before the draft, so a lot of decisions are going to be made. But Garnett's a plug-and-play type guy, if you ask me. I guess what I'm trying to say is if they did re-sign Foster, depending on the deal, I could still possibly see Garnett being the guy. But we'll know soon enough. I mean, Foster. Now here's the thing: what if Foster hits free agency and has to end up re-signing with the Steelers next to nothing? Does that change anything?
Not really. I want guys that can help now. And I mean, as much as I love Garnett, I want a guy that's not going to have to sit on the bench for a year or two. So I want some guys that can be impact players.
And normally guards don't have to sit though, right?
Right. But if you're signing Foster, then he's going to be your starting left guard, right?
Right. True.
And if you draft Garnett, then you got no place to put him. So I hope Foster comes back because I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to have a glaring hole at left guard when you got the defense you got to figure out. So I'm just really hoping, my fingers are crossed, Ramon Foster comes back.
Being as how, I mean, is there a chance by the time we get to the draft, Garnett's a top 20 guy anyway?
I mean, there's that chance, but I think he's going to be there at 25. I like Garnett a lot. I like him more than most people. I think I think he'll get in that first round conversation more than he is now. But I don't know if he's going to be a top 15 kind of guy.
Tunsil, all the other guys, Stanley, those guys are coming off. Any of the tackles? And are you, if you're the Steelers, are you even going that way in the first four rounds?
If Beecham goes, and the reporters are deciding between Foster and Beecham, but if Beecham goes, then you need tackle depth. And so I think that's going to be in play for the Steelers. I like Tyler Johnston from Oregon. I think he's got good size. I thought he moved really well. I thought he was flexible, and he did well laterally. Alex Lewis from Nebraska, who I mocked them in my first one, I thought did overall pretty good as well. Those are guys that I'm looking at.
I already forgot his name. The kid out of Michigan State.
Conklin.
Jack
Allen?
The other kid that moved around, played all those positions. Probably going to be a seventh round draft. I put him in my mock, I thought. I'm drawing a blank on his name. I can't see the Steelers drafting a tackle until round seven.
But if Beecham goes, who's your tackle depth?
You're gonna have to hope Mike Adams or a free agent, a lower tiered free agent.
Yeah, I think they go free agency. It wouldn't surprise me to bring in a low key tackle.
Because we know if Beecham's not there, Villanueva starts.
Right, right. And then you got Mike Adams and not much else sitting there behind. I think they will take a free agent low key in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, you just, I mean, three seventh, what we think is going to end up being three seventh round draft picks, you know, no fifth or no sixth. I guess it wouldn't be overly surprising if they tried to deal, you know, to get into the sixth round if they saw somebody they really, really like. But, I mean, I think it is going to end up being – in other words, I think I will be surprised if any trades – if the Steelers work any trades during the draft this year. But do we miss anybody on the offensive line that maybe you want to go back and watch tape on in the upcoming future?
No, I think I just about did it for me. Jason Spriggs, the tackle from Indiana, is going to get talked about a lot. I want to look at him more. I got a report coming on him this time or sometime this week, so be on the lookout for that. And I could talk for hours, but I know we're running out of time, so I guess I should shut up now.
Yeah, we're up against it here. We'll talk more about this as the off season goes on and as these guys get into their pro days and all. Alex, I appreciate you sitting in today. Always always fun talking draft prospects with you as well, too. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter, at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter, at David M. Todd. You can follow Alex Cazora on Twitter, at Alex _ Cazora. Follow the show, at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com. You can find that donate button. You'll also easily find the link to the 2016 NFL Combine results that we'll have all sortable for you by this evening as well, too. And until Monday, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.